You are listening to The Weekly Wrap-Up with your hosts, Marcella Bird and Will Thompson. Hey guys, and welcome to the Clean Sheets Weekly Wrap-Up, where we look at all the results, news and reviews and table standings of football in New South Wales from the NPL 1 all the way down to the State League. I'm your host, Marcella Bird, and with me, as always, is Will Thompson.
Hey guys, how's it going?
So, Will, we'll probably get straight into it. Did you see any good football results this weekend?
Yeah, some pretty big ones. Bulls got past their bogey side, Mount Drewtown Rangers away, which is a pretty big result. And some pretty key results down to the lower grades as well, which I can't wait to get into.
Excellent, excellent. So what we'll do is we'll start with some news. Will, what have you got for us?
So firstly, we've received word that Branko Cullinan has left Canberra Bankstown FC, formerly known as Berries. Some more details hopefully to come from that. There's a possibility that he might not be walking away just yet, but that's the information we received. And also St. George City FA have eyed up their second division. They've got some aspirations there, obviously, to go into the Championship or A2 League, whatever it's going to be called. What else? The white papers for the second division came out last week. And, of course, there's also that the agreement with the working group to sort of set out the funding for the second division as well.
Good. That's look, the white paper, it's a pretty good step in the right direction for football, not just in New South Wales, but as a whole. In Australia, so I'm pretty sure we'll discuss all those impacts a little bit later on in the episode, but for now we'll go to results in the NPL 1. So we have Mount Drewtown Rangers losing 4-1 to Wollongong Wolves at Poppendenta Park. Sutherland Sharks with a very surprising 5-0 win away to Manly United at Cromer Park. Uphill I Cut Tigers with a 3-0 win over Hakoa Sydney City East. Blacktown City FC winning 3-1 over Sydney FC. Sydney Olympic with a 1-0 win at home to rivals Rockdale City Suns. And Sydney United and Marconi Stallions playing out a very entertaining nil-all draw. Now, Will, out of all those results, which of those stand out to you the most?
I think the key one is Sutherland winning 5-0. And as I understand, they are now 6 games unbeaten in the NPL, which is the current longest unbeaten streak. And doing quite well for themselves. They've played themselves right into finals contention now. They're into 8th. They're on 22 points, so only 1 point off from 5th. Yeah, they're right up and in there. And obviously a huge win.
Yeah, I think probably out of all the results, that's probably the most unexpected. Manly doing well for themselves, I guess, this season. You know, fighting up there for a final spot. But Sutherland literally coming out of nowhere and banging 5 unanswered goals.
Yeah, I think they've got their new signings to thank for that. They've really sort of bolstered up their squad in the transfer window.
Yeah, and it does help that Manly United did receive a red card early in the first half, so basically playing with 10 men for the majority of the game. Now, speaking of red cards, I actually went to the Sydney United and Marconi Stallions game yesterday at Adenza Park. As nil-all draws go, this probably had to be one of the most entertaining ones that I've seen. There was, according to the Sydney United Facebook page, over 1,400 people were confirmed to attend. Whether it's that number, I'm not a numbers guy, but it was a very good crowd. It was a very healthy crowd, very loud crowd, very raucous crowd. And so much tension, you can cut all the atmosphere down with a knife. It was so good to see that kind of passion, that kind of atmosphere back into the NPL crowds. In terms of quality for the game, it was a very good game to say the least. The only thing for both sides that they literally had nothing to show for it. For both sides, very attacking, shots going in left, right and center, but there was no cutting edge. There was no final result for both sides. And interestingly enough, Marconi Stallions actually received a red card in the 43 minute with Mitch Malia with a straight red for an off the ball incident. But I was thinking at that point, United did have the ascendancy and probably should have won the game on the basis of the fact they had 10 men, but Marconi, to their credit, you know, pushed on and on. And there were times that you thought that Marconi were actually going to get the winner.
Yep.
It was actually a really good game.
Yeah, and that's it. It just shows the resiliency of that Stallion side to really hold on and, I guess, not just hold on, but push for the winner as well. They had some pretty good chances there, and United just managed to keep them at bay, and lucky for them, that would have been pretty embarrassing to go down 1-0 against 10 men.
Yeah, I've got to say as well, at least for me personally, the player for Sydney United, Thomas Manos, you know, he was literally the key player for them. Some of his saves, some of his reflexes, second to none. You know, there's good reason why he was on Western Sydney Wanderers' radar. He was in their first team for a bit.
Yep.
And, you know, if A-League clubs are looking for a good keeper, you know, you can't go past him providing solid backup. And some of the stuff that he did, if it wasn't for him, Marconi would have won maybe 1-2-0. So for me, for my mind at least, player of the match has to go to Manos.
Oh, 100%. Had an outstanding game. Outstanding.
Yeah, it was very good. Now, another interesting result was Mount Druitt losing 4-1 to Wollongong Wolves. Now, as you were saying before, Wollongong Wolves finally beating their bogey team.
Yeah, very key result for them. Keeps them at the top of the table, 5 points clear of Apia on 39 points. They're actually not too far off. I think they've got something like a 10-point swing that they need to wrap up the premiership. And they almost got themselves for a shoe-in for the final spot. In fact, they actually have. They will definitely be playing finals this year, no matter what happens in the rest of the competition.
Yeah, it's a good result for the Wolves. Now, I just want to point out before we move on to next, Blacktown City's 3-1 win, you know, For me, in all money, it was a routine win, but I'm not sure if our listeners have seen the goals of this game, but Joey Gibbs' fantastic bicycle kick goal. You know, sure, that's got to go down as a goal of the season or a contender for a goal of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty hard to beat Georgievich from earlier on, but it's definitely going to be up there in the top three, and a well-deserved team of the week position to Joey Gibbs there.
Right, excellent. In terms of table standings, we still have Wollongong Wolves on first place, 39 points. RPR, 34. Blacktown in third on 30. Then C United on fourth and 26th. And then you've got three teams on 23 points. But what matters most is that finals spot, Sydney Olympic occupying it. Then Manly United on sixth. And then Rockdale City in seventh. All three on 23 points, but then you've got Sutherland Sharks, as you were mentioning before, 22 points. So they're really not that far off a final spot after having a really poor start to the season.
No, definitely. As I said, gone on a pretty big undefeated streak at the moment. And then from there as well, you've got Marconi and Mount Druitt Town Rangers, who are still only one win outside that top five as well. And if you have a look at the goal differences, Manly and Rockdale are both negatives. Olympics only one. Sydney United is at minus three as well, which is pretty surprising, being in the top four there. But then Sutherland and Marconi both have a positive goal differential, so that could really help them in their last couple of rounds.
And we can pretty much discount Sydney FC and Hakawa Sydney City East for any finals contention. Sydney FC on 11th on 14 points, and Hakawa Sydney City sitting pretty at bottom on 10 points.
Yep.
Now, we'll move on to the MPL 2 this week.
It was a pretty big week in MPL 2 as well. We had some upsets that we didn't expect. A bit of variance in the club championship standings as well. If we quickly run through the scores, Hills United defeated Western Sydney Wanderers 4-2. You know, a surprising win there. MacArthur Rams held Spirit to a 1-1 draw, and that's pretty crucial considering the off-field dramas that have been going for last week. Mounties Wanderers routine win 3-1 over St George FC. Northern Tigers 5-2 over Canterbury Bankstown. Rydalmere and Bonnyrigg played out a 1-1 draw. Blacktown Spartans with an upset 2-1. I guess some would call it an upset, some might say it's a routine 2-1 win over St George City. And North Shore Mariners beating their namesake brothers, Central Coast Mariners, 1-0.
Now, I'm going to point out probably the most anticipated game of the round. Hills United and Western Sydney Wanderers. A very entertaining 4-2 win for Hills United, but I think many pundits were thinking that Western Sydney were going to be the victors in this one.
Yeah, I think so. Wanderers have been, they've been pretty up there, and until last week, they were pretty close in terms of table standings. But Hills, there's something in the water out there, and they're doing quite well this year. Wanderers, as we've said the last couple of weeks, just really starting to slip away from the top, still holding steady inside the top four there, and I think they're still going to make finals, but man, in terms of promotion hopes, losing like that is really crushing.
Yeah, it is, and these are the types of games that you need to be winning. You know, if you score first or if there's a lot of weight on you, you've really got to push through and you've really got to win. But I think if you want to call it a positive out of the negative, you've got Mohamed Adam again scoring. He's on 18 games this season, scoring 19 goals. So I think it would be very hard to argue that maybe player of the NPL 2 season, you know, he'd be up there.
Yeah, 100%. It's hard to find such a good goal rate for players these days. But you know, you got him in NPL 2, you got TJ up in NPL 1, who's still killing. He's getting at least a goal a game. They're definitely two players to keep an eye on in the future.
To look out for, 100%. Now, interesting result for Bonnie Rig, because this actually affects their standings. A 1-1 draw between them and Rotherham Lions. Now, was it 2 points lost or 1 point gained for either side, actually?
I think I'd have to say 2 points lost for Bonnie Rig. You know, Rotherham is sort of hanging around down the bottom. Bonnie Rig more towards the upper of the table, and you'd expect a better quality side out of them. For Rydalmere to pinch a point, pretty big for them, especially in the club championship standings, because they're so close to Bonnie Rig in that. But yeah, Bonnie Rig, they'll be definitely disappointed to walk away with only the 1 point for that game.
Yep, no, I definitely agree with that. Now, in terms of the table standing, as we mentioned before, this is a very topsy-turvy kind of standing. North Shore Mariners in first place on 39 points. That win by Hills United actually propels them into outright second on 37 points. Spirit FC in third with 34. And then Western Sydney Wanderers tied with Mounties Wanderers, 32 points. So Western Sydney Wanderers in fourth and Mounties Wanderers in fifth spot. Now, obviously, the goal difference for the Wanderers is massive. It's 20 as compared to Mounties Wanderers, who are on 6. But, you know, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago that Western Sydney Wanderers, you know, they looked the shoe-in to finish. Now they're 7 points behind the league leaders.
Yeah, and I think it's a huge testament. If you go back to the first year that these academy sides started playing the NPL 2, huge testament to Sydney FC, who actually held on and held on for promotion as well as, you know, as winning the comp. Because we're seeing how difficult it is for them now after they lose those players at the end of the A-League window, the A-League contract period, to, really keep it together.
And on the flip side, we've got anchoring, as always. I don't think it's ever changed. Canterbury Bankstown on 8 points. And as you mentioned before, that unconfirmed news, I guess we can call it on that spot, that Branko Kaluna has left the club. Now, where does that put a club that's already rock bottom, facing hard times for the rest of the season, if these reports are true?
Look, if it's true, then, you know, Canterbury Bankstown's just got no hope. They're languishing down at 8 points. 27th points at the moment is the benchmark to get into the finals. So, really far away from the pace there. And, you know, I don't see them playing finals football this year, and I don't see them playing NPL 2 beyond this season.
Same here. We'll move on to the NPL 3. Very interesting round that went by. We have Dunbar Rovers with a 2-1 win over the Camden Tigers at the Hensley Athletic Field. Hawkesbury City with a surprising 3-0 win over Bankstown City at David Burdenshaw Field. SD Raiders with a 2-0 away win over Granville Rage. Stanmore Hawks with 3-1 away win over Parramatta FC at Melita Stadium. Inter Lions falling 4-1 at home to Gladesville Ride Magic at Valentine Sports Park. Dulwich Hill with a 2-0 win over Sydney University at Arlington Oval, and Frankstown United with a convincing 2-0 win over the hapless Western New South Wales Mariners at Yensen Park. Now, I've got to say that probably the most surprising result of this is Frankstown City losing 3-0 to Hawkesbury City, and the dent that it has in their final in their chances at the end of the season.
I think so. I don't want to say it's all but killed off the hopes of promotion or anything like that, but it's certainly a huge blow. They've picked up something like 6 points from a total of 63 over the last three rounds towards their club championship standings. I guess we can attribute it back to that Bankstown United victory in the derby that's sort of been the catalyst so far to go on and lose the next 2 weeks. Still holding up in fourth position, though, but for how much longer, who knows? Bankstown United right on the heels. But yeah, Bankstown City, they're going to be kicking themselves for dropping that game. That's a huge opportunity lost there.
Yeah, very big. Look, and as you just said it before, it seems like the derby loss was like their bogey, their catalyst for just not being able to pick up and just, you know, getting maximum points. Now, I understand that even in the club championships, they haven't been doing that well. They've been dropping off massively.
Yeah, that's it. They held steady at the top of the table for probably 3 or 4 weeks in a row there, and now they're just starting to fall back behind the leaders of the pack. I think the other important win was Gladesville Ride Magic over Inter Lions into last week, beating Bankstown City, and then Gladesville Ride coming out and smacking them 4-1. Bit of a reality check, I guess you could say. Just keeping them there in sixth position.
No, it's actually very good. I love the let's say the unpredictableness of this league. Now that win actually puts them up into outright second in the table. So Gladesville really capitalizing on the Bankstown City slips this season, or at least in the past two games.
Yeah.
But as we know, Gladesville for the majority of the first half of the season were on top.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, if it wasn't for Stanmore Hawks' I guess resurgence, they'd definitely be on the top of the table for first grade. Again, Hawks, they've been absolutely killing it. Only one loss this season. Just absolutely huge for that side.
And I'm probably going to say they were probably the rank outsiders, you know, coming into this season. Because Stanmore last year didn't do so well, did enough to stay up, but I really don't think anyone would have predicted them to be first at this time.
No, and that's it. Like you've got your usual suspects of Magic, Raiders, City, and even Dulwich Hill as being sort of your top teams. Parramatta in the mix as well at the start of the season. But yeah, Stanmore just surprising everyone so far. So bravo to those guys.
Yeah, no, it's actually really good. It's actually good to see there's a bit of a mix for them in this league. Now, going to the table standings, we've got, as we just mentioned, Stanmore Hawks on first, 38 points. Gladesville Ride Magic, second on 37. Southern District Raiders, third on 36. And then you've got a bit of a drop there by 3 points. Bankstown City, fourth on 33 points. And then clipping on their heels, their rivals, Bankstown United, New Boys, on fifth on 30 points. And just 1 point below them, you've got Inter Lions on 29 points. So it is a pretty tight shift for the final spots.
Yeah, definitely. And then obviously from Inter, you've got a 5-point gap down to Dully. With so many games to go, it's really hard to call at this stage as to who's going to be making finals, where they're going to end up, and as we'll see in a little bit, the promotion prospects.
Yeah. Parramatta's loss against Stanmore puts them 12th spot on 12 points. Now, as we know, Parramatta made a plethora of signings in the mid-season window. I think they've made probably more than probably all the, maybe say, top half of the table combined.
Yeah.
You know, was it too little too late for them? Is it too little too late for them?
I'm gonna say,
as you were saying, plenty of games left, it might be some time left.
I think there's some time left. It's definitely running out. They need to start picking up wins. And if it doesn't happen in the next 2 weeks, it's not going to happen. It's getting really tight there. And, yeah, I don't think they're going to make finals this year for first grade. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen. If they get 4 points over the next 2 weeks, who knows?
Right, and languishing at the bottom, as always. I don't think it's even changed. We've got Western New South Wales Mariners putting up the table on 6 points, and then we've got Granville Rage in 13th spot on 10 points. So maybe that gulf of class, as you were mentioning earlier in the season, is actually starting to show.
Yeah.
And we'll move on to the State League, finally, with results. We've got Central Coast United defeating South Coast Flame 2-1. Fraser Park with a 3-2 away win at Nepean FC. The University of New South Wales with a 3-1 win over Balmain Tigers. And you've got Hurstville City losing 4-2 to their city rivals, Hurstville FC, at the Inland Sports Centre. And Western Condors having the bye this round. Now, there's not really much to say about this league. You know, it's pretty much wrapped by Central Coast.
Yeah, I think so, and especially, you know, the top two is Central Coast and Fraser Park. They're now fighting out for the premiership. I don't think there's much else to play for apart from the championship. Promotion seems to be all wrapped up. Although I must say, absolutely huge for Ghazi. They're up to 20 points. They're actually sitting in fourth and into a final spot. And Hurstville FC as well, sitting in third place on 21. But if you look from there, it's only 8 points from 3rd to 11th, so it's still a very tight league. Anyone can still make the finals, and that's what makes it so exciting.
And there seems to be a bit of an imbalance of games as well. Some teams having played 14 games, other teams playing 13, some even playing 12. So still a lot of catch-up games, a lot of buys and everything like that. Man, if there's one thing that I hate in a league, it's having buys. Yeah, I'm just going to see what the A-League's got in store when for 11 teams in a professional top flight. Going to have a bye every week now.
It's going to be hell. And an imbalance of games, you're still going 26 with the 11 teams. So it's going to be a complete mess over the next year.
Yes. I think the A-League's going to look at how the State League's actually performing in order to kind of get a gauge of where they're at. Now, before we move on, we've got Central Coast at the top of the ladder. As we mentioned, 33 points. Fraser Park, 31. Then there's a massive drop, 21 points, Hurstville. And as you mentioned before, FC Ghazi on 20 points. And the final spot's rounded up by South Coast Flame on 19 points. Now, we say this every week. Is it just a two-horse race?
Yep. There's no chance for anyone else at this point.
Yep. And I think that's probably the less said about it, the better. Now, we'll move on. In the middle of last week, the Football Federation Australia released the white paper about promotion, relegation, second division happening in Australia. Now, Will, did you want to give a little bit of background to that?
So basically, it's the blueprint as to how they're going to go over the next couple of years. Their sort of roadmap, I guess you could say, as to when they want what implemented. So obviously they've got second division set up, and then pro-rel into the NPL systems, and then eventually looking at the second division to the A-League, and that's going to be about 10 or 12 years away just for that. So it's slow progress, but it's definitely progress and massive progress as well.
Yeah, I think in this regard, some news is good news, like any news is good news. Now, I'm going to pose this question to you. What is a good number for a second division to have the teams in the league?
It's hard to say. I've seen some people throw around anywhere between 10 and 20 sides. Personally, I think 14 or 16 is going to be the sweet spot. If you can get 16 in a first division or second division, I think that's going to be really prime for that. Or even if you get 30 teams across Australia in total.
Yeah, me personally, I think 14 teams is probably the good number. Just if you're taking into consideration the geography of Australia, the footballing landscape as it is now, and the amount of teams that could be competitive in a national second division. I think 16 is probably pushing it, and whoever's saying 20, they've got to get the rocks out of their head, because that's pretty much an unrealistic number. Now, should the A-League look into the National Second Division for expansion teams, or should there be a kind of promotion relegation system, whether it's one up, one down, or a playoff system in order to enter the A-League?
I think Wolves are still trying to get, because I think they said 14 or 16 teams is sort of the sweet spot for the A-League. So if we say, if we go for argument's sake, let's go 16 teams. So we're at 10 at the moment. We're going to 12 over the next two seasons. And then we've got four more spots to make up. I think there's a very strong case there to put potential A-League sides into that league and see how they go. I think you could probably take two from promotion and then sort of another two guaranteed. So whether it be a second Brisbane side in Canberra or Tasmania, I think there's a number of ways to do that. But that's one of the ways I would think would be the best. So that way you're getting Canberra ready for a couple of seasons, and then you bring them up. You're getting, say, let's just say Tasmania for argument's sake, getting them ready for a couple of seasons, seeing how they go before you bring them up. And then you've got the opportunity there to promote two teams and then bring some other teams up from the NPL to replace them as well.
So we'd be following almost like an MLS model where they, in the USL or the NASL, they have teams who are earmarked for promotion into the MLS, as we know is a closed league like Australia. They build them up and then eventually they move into the top flight. And that's actually been successful in a market like America. And I've got to say, the Australian market, while not similar to America, it is very not dissimilar, if that makes sense. So we do share a lot of commonalities between them. And I think for the time being, using the championship or the A2 league, whatever you want to call it, as an incubator for potential A-League sides is a good way. But eventually, and I think a lot of people echo this as well, there needs to be promotion relegation from the top flight into the second division. We can't be a closed league anymore. It's, yes, I understand Australia's sporting challenges are very unique as they are compared to against the rest of the world, but we've got to rise above and we actually have to, you know, fall in line with other leagues, with the statutes of FIFA, because that's probably why we're losing a lot of what do we call it in the AFC. You know, we lose a Champions League spot because we don't have enough teams, because our FFA Cup isn't really considered, like, I wouldn't say legitimate, but it's only fresh into the minds of the AFC.
Yeah.
So change needs to happen.
And probably the FFA Cup, we've nominated the A-League finals as being our cup competition to get that spot into the Champions League there.
And I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
I don't know, but the fickle Australian sporting market. But look, I think as we change, then the fans will follow along.
Good, good. Now, speaking of the FFA Cup, last Wednesday, the round of 32 for the 2019 edition was announced. I'm just going to read off some names, at least for the New South Wales sides. We've got in South Hobart hosting the Marconi Stallions, and that is the only interstate FFA Cup game that involves another side with the NPL in New South Wales that isn't a NPL one side. Sorry, an NPL side, sorry. So the other games are St. George Saints versus Sydney United. We have Mount Druitt Town Rangers and Manly United. And, yeah, that's pretty much it for that. Now, there is a bit of, I don't know if you want to call it conspiracy or I don't know what you want to call it, that New South Wales sides always drawing each other.
Yeah, it seems to be a pretty common occurrence, and I haven't gone back to look at the figures yet, but I've been promising myself that I will, just pretty forgetful in that department. But yeah, it always seems like the New South Wales sides manage to play themselves, and it's kind of disappointing because you go into an FFA Cup, you really want to get an interstate trip, or maybe you want to verse an A-League opposition, and then to draw a team, like especially in the case of Mount Druitt and Manly, that you're already playing twice in the season. Like, it's going to be, it's disappointing.
And they verse each other in the Waratah Cup. And also, again, St. George is versing Sydney United in the Waratah Cup.
Yeah, it's crazy. And some people have been saying that it's for the FFA to be able to cut down on travel costs. Not sure how much of that I buy into, because we did see the balls being actually drawn out of the gates or the barrier, the pot, sorry. So unless they're using some hot and cold balls there, I don't think there is a conspiracy. I think it's just it's luck of the draw. It can happen, and that's the thing. Statistically, this has as much chance to happen as half of the other fixtures. Obviously, it's a little bit imbalanced by having three A-League fixtures, and you got your nine all NPL clashes, and then the rest of NPL versus A-League. But yeah, I think it just comes down to luck of the draw.
Now, speaking of the way that you just mentioned the seeding and the way that the draw is actually conducted. Now, the FFA Cup is very unique in the sense that there are conditions in the way that games are matched. Should the FFA Cup be open for all? Do we have to have these stipulations and these conditions?
It's a hard one. I'm definitely in favour of an open cup. I can see why they have it this way to get at least one NPL side through to the semi-finals. But like, there's better ways to do that as well. I saw one suggestion would be to seed the A-League sides on opposite sides of the draw, and the NPL side would still always be the home side. But I think there's other ways to go about it, because we have seen some cup sets of some NPL sides beating A-League sides over the last couple of years, like Blacktown over Central Coast.
And we had Heidelberg beating Perth 1-0.
Exactly right, and that's the magic of the Cup, you know. There's no reason Campbelltown City couldn't pick up, they couldn't beat Melbourne City. You could even have Cooma Tigers beating, you know, the...
Cooma City.
Yeah, they could... Or if they had drawn an A-League opposition, who's to say they wouldn't have beaten them as well? You could have also had the case of five all A-League games, which would be glorious for all the NPL sides.
Exactly. Like, we've got, a good example of this is Melbourne Knights versus Adelaide United. Now, I understand that's one of the televised games, and I think that, out of all the clashes, is probably the clash to look out for.
Yeah, 100%. That's going to be a beautiful game. Interesting to note as well, they scheduled the same night as the Melbourne Victory versus Newcastle Jets game. So I think a bit of games there from the FFA to ensure that the Knights don't get as big of a supporter base as they possibly could have.
Right. Now, in saying that, with the way that the cup is seated and the way that it's with all these conditions, you know, we know the hashtag magic of the cup and all that jargon, but does it seem very manufactured to you that the way that the cup is actually done?
It does, because you're guaranteeing at least one NPL side through to the semifinals, which is nice and all, but like, they can definitely get there on their own merits. They don't have to be sort of bubble wrapped
and guided in
system. Yeah. So I definitely think just an open draw would be the best. And one thing, too, just saw something about it. With two all New South Wales NPL games, it's sort of a double-edged sword. As I was saying before, you don't really want to draw someone you play against. But at the same time, New South Wales is guaranteed at least two sides through to the round 16, and possibly a third. I've got a feeling that Marconi's going to best South Hobart there. So you're sort of almost saying we're going to get three teams in. There could have been the chance of all five sides, you know, we could have had a couple of A-League games, and then they, you know, the last team could have played off against one of the stronger NPL Victorian sides, and we could have had every single team knocked down the first round. So it is kind of nice to think that we are going to get at least two guaranteed through the 16.
In saying that, surely that if the cup is open, it's an open draw, if the clubs are good enough, they will push through. They will win on their own merit. We don't need necessarily the FFA saying that member feds must verse A-League sides and A-League sides have to be drawn against each other in order for these sides to be competitive and to actually win through. Because if clubs are good enough, you know, Sydney United are a great team. Who else is there? You know, Marconi Stallions are a great team. If they can... If they've made it this far, surely they can make it further on their own merit.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
All right, and just an interesting note, we have last week we posted on our Facebook page, Vince Rigari from his Twitter account posted a open draw as such for the FFA Cup, because you have to admit it was pretty underwhelming.
It's one of the most disappointing draws I've ever seen.
Right, so I'll just read out the NPL sides for New South Wales. In his randomised draw, Sydney FC take on Marconi Stallions, which is which would be an incredible game. We have the Maitland Magpies versus Sydney United. We have, where else? Just trying to find it on this list. Adelaide United versus Manly United. And we have Darwin Olympic versus Mount Druitt Town Rangers. Now, if you were to compare that draw against the actual draw, yep, what would you be more interested in?
I definitely think Vince Rugari's draw is a lot more enticing.
Especially for a casual, like if you're a casual fan and you're just kind of, you know, in getting into football or, you know, getting into the FFA Cup, these are the types of matches that you want to see, not the manufactured, okay, because they're an NPL side, we have to give them a helping hand kind of draw.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, the only thing, I guess, that could have made this draw better would be for Sydney United to have drawn Western Sydney Wanderers.
Don't make me dream.
Unfortunately, though, I've got a bad feeling that Wanderers are going to get knocked out against Perth Glory. And we might have to wait another couple of years to see that match.
Fair enough, yep. You know, as a passionate Western Sydney Wanderers fan, both NPL and A-League, you know, they're not going to get through. That's just probably me being very, very honest there.
Yeah.
All right. Now, yeah, so that's pretty much it for the FFA Cup. You know, hopefully the NPL Wild sides do well, and we do wish them the best of luck.
Most definitely.
Okay. And we'll move on to our final segment, the Club Championship Roundup. So, Will, what have you got for us?
In the NPL 1, Blacktown still out in front, 238 points. Wolves on 209. RPL 196, Rockdale 172. But of course, down the bottom is where it counts in NPL1, or I guess doesn't count, depending on what side of the coin you're on. Hokkaido onto 98 points, picking up wins in their 18s and 20s. Fell against First Grade and Olympic. They lost their 18s and 20s, so for a while there it looked like that we could have seen a pretty big swing towards Hokkaido, but then Olympic with the upset. So now Hokkaido 98, Marconi 144, Sydney FC 149, Sydney United and Olympic 151, Manly 154, Rangers 155. So Hokkaido not completely out of it yet. They are quite a number of points down. They're 46 points behind at the moment. And I'm not sure, I'm assuming a lot of people would have seen what I put up throughout the week, the max club championship points that each side can get. So Hokkaido can get a maximum of 224 points. So that essentially means that Blacktown definitely can't be relegated. But it also means clubs like Marconi only need an 80-point swing against Hokkaido. So that could be two rounds of 4 points for Marconi, no points for Hokkaido. That's a 42-point swing. One more round of that. And assuming, you know, FC and Olympic and all that get the points required, Hokkaido could be knocked out in the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, as good as their recent run has been, I think it's just too late for Hokkaido, and pretty sure they'll be resigned to playing NPL2 next season. What else have you got?
NPL2, the Wanderers have had their lead cut drastically over the last 4 or 5 weeks. They are on 240, with North Shore on 237, so only a 3-point lead there, and they're going to be sweating it for the rest of the season now. Spirit not too far behind, 215, Hills 208, Mounties 206, Northern 204, and Mariners 202. So pretty tight there from third down through to seventh. Still anyone's it's only on spot to be promoted. But if we have a look down the other end, Kenry Bankstown on 63, Rams 96, and St George 112. Now, the interesting thing here is when calculating how many points they can get, so Canterbury Bankstown can get a maximum of 231 points. Rydalmere have 132, so only about a 100-point swing there required for Rydalmere and the teams above them to put at least Bankstown out of their misery. Rams as well, not that far off. They can get a maximum of 264. St George, maximum of 280, so no teams can be mathematically eliminated yet, but it is going pretty close, and I'm hoping over the next sort of 2, 3, 4 rounds we'll have a better picture of the relegation standings.
And I think out of most of the other leagues, I think NPL2 is the one where it's still pretty hard to pick, whereas, you know, State League and the NPL3, it's pretty cookie cutter who's going up and who's going down. Now, let's move on to the NPL3.
So SD Raiders, 242, they've coasted into first spot. Glacieride Magic on 230, so only a 12-point difference there. Not too far off. Bankstown City see themselves in 207, so they're more than a game away, sorry, more than a full round away from Magic, starting to sort of lose touch there. But Bankstown United are coming up on 200, so only two full rounds behind the leaders Raiders, and Dunbar 197, not too far off from that. So I guess it's still pretty open to the top five teams for promotion there, even if you include Dunbar, who are 45 points away, going down the other end. And just on a quick note, it's really interesting because with NPL3, so you got the top six will be playing finals, the bottom five will be relegated, so the middle three just get nothing. It's really interesting there. But yeah, Rage 42 points, Western New South Wales Mariners on 43, so they can get a max of 201 and 202 respectively. All but gone. I think there's about a 42-point swing there from Sydney Uni and Darley and whatnot to sort of, I guess, secure their relegation.
So I'm just going to point out that Bankstown United, I just want to make a side note, Bankstown United, even though they got promoted into the NPL3 from State League last year, have been doing absolutely fantastically in the league and even in the club championships. So kudos to them.
Yeah, doing really well for themselves. Like, they definitely wouldn't be a team that would surprise me if they did get promoted again. It might be sort of getting out of hand for them. It's not to say that they're running out of rounds, but you know, they've only got, what, 8-9 left in that there. So I guess you could say they're starting to run out of time, and especially with the quality of opposition above them as well. Just trying to quickly bring up, yes, they've played 17 out of a total of 26, so still quite a number of rounds there. Parramatta, 97 points. So now this is where it starts to get interesting, and the question sort of gets asked. They're only 60-odd points away from Sydney Uni and the chance at safety, so there's still three rounds of getting full points for that. Their first grade side hasn't been too flash this season. 18s and 20s are doing pretty well for themselves. But yeah, their first grade just not cutting it, but 256 is their max total. So I guess the question is, can Parramatta survive?
See, for me, all money is that, look, if you want to be very realistic, they probably can do it. But they really need to get a move on, especially the first team. As you mentioned before, their 18s and 20s probably saving them, but, you know, it would be very much a shame if they were to face a triple relegation.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, mathematically, they can definitely do it. The math is there. I haven't gone through and worked out the matchups and, you know, if these two teams are playing off and if they all get draws and worked out all that. I might say that for sort of 2-3 weeks out from the end of the season. But just on pure potential maximum points, they're still in it. Camden 118 points, they're still in it as well. They can get a maximum of 307 and only 41 off Sydney Uni. And Hawkesbury City 146, so they're only 13 behind Sydney Uni. If they get, you know, a couple more good wins like they did against Bankstown City there, they can definitely play themselves into a position of survival.
Yeah, good note, good points you've made there. Now finally, we've got the State League.
It's no surprise this year, but Central Coast out on 238 points, Fraser Park on 189, and as it stands mathematically, only 6 of the 10 teams can be eligible for promotion now, and another sort of full round would knock out two more, knock out Minotaurs and UNSW. Nepean, they're on 151, so like the 87 points away, I think it's just too far for them. It's a two-horse race, United or Fraser Park.
Fair enough. Now, with the restructure that's going to happen next year, as we know, NPL 4 will become what the State League is now. Even though sides can be somewhat competitive, do you see a lot of these sides surviving into the NPL 4, like meeting the criteria and, you know, the guidelines that Football New South Wales have actually set out?
Look, I think if they can meet the criteria, then we should definitely be looking at keeping them, especially if all the teams can have their own youth set up. We'll axe another three sides, possibly four, if Southern Branch do indeed bring in a men's program, which is the male that we're getting at the moment. So, yeah, there's some teams that aren't running youth, like Ghazi, who... they're just going to go, and as we've seen with the 18s, you know, they're just getting smacked every week, and I think a big part of that is no youth.
Yeah, like, as much as we love Ghazi here at the Clean Sheet, it's, you know, might be time to say bye-bye.
Definitely. Like, and then you've got clubs like Herschel Zagreb and Minotaurs, who are both occupying such a small catchment area, and when you consider you've got Sutherland on one side, you got St. George on the other side, I think they're going to struggle to keep one team at least.
One of the two sides at least in the new NPL 4.
Yeah, in saying that, like, it wouldn't surprise me if both of them got cut, just going off of who else could potentially be. But look, if they merge, that frees up a spot, obviously, and then that's a good case to they've got a big enough club to run juniors and women's and everything then. So I think clubs need to start looking at that. I think some of the clubs up in NPL 2 and 3 could definitely look at merging as well. You got some clubs with some very, very small catchment areas there.
Yeah, but could you see the two Hurstville clubs agreeing to merge?
If it came down to a necessity for... if they had the proposition of, you know, either merge or they're both gone, yes. If it's merge... because one of these is going to go, I don't think they're going to agree to that, especially Hurstville FC. I think they'd be the preferable club to keep between the two of them, just based on their history and, I guess, success.
What they can provide.
Yeah, what they can provide. They got a pretty good list of alumni there.
Nah, it's good. No, yeah, I think when it comes closer to it, a lot of these clubs are going to make those really hard decisions. And, you know, who knows? The face of New South Wales football is going to be changing come season's end.
Yeah, some exciting times ahead indeed.
All right. And with that, we'll wrap it up. Just want to say thank you very much, guys, for listening and tuning in. Remember to follow us on our Facebook page, The Clean Sheet AU, and send us all your news, rumours, gossip, anything that you got for us. And we'll look into it.
Definitely, and also go check out New Entertainment Order. Their links will be in the description as always. And yeah, check out or hang out for our videos that will be going up throughout the week. And if you come from watching one of those and you're a first-time listener, thank you for staying till the end.
All right, and that's it. Thank you very much, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers, guys. See you then.